The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. They say progress is a slow process, which may very well be true, but the current Supreme Court is actually putting us back in time, and they're doing it in the name of Christianity. They already overturned Roe versus Wade, which finally got politicians off their asses to pass the Respect for Marriage Act, which made same-sex and interracial marriages legal, no matter how racist or homophobic the Supreme Court is currently feeling. But the question remains, how far will this Supreme Court go? That's the question my guest today, Andrew Seidel, asks in his new book, American Crusade, which is available right now. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, get it.
Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 95 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, very happy to have you on, author of the new book, American Crusade, Andrew Seidel. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're looking at the Supreme Court, and it's, we'll say, slightly Christian nationalists at this point. And that's basically what your book is about. Of course, the Crusades going back to whenever it was, medieval times. I don't have my notes in front of me, but you know. And so I guess we could start with Roe versus Wade. I think a lot of people, especially my age, I'm 44, we never thought we would see Roe overturned, even though, you know, Republicans constantly ran that we're going to overturn Roe one day. And they actually did. I don't think anybody thought that it would actually be done. And they did it. In your opinion, is this the beginning of a lot of going back in time even further?
Yes, it is. You know, and I will say there were a few of us who were pretty sure the court was going to do it. We were trying to raise the alarm bell to warn everybody that this was going to happen because, I mean, we've seen a hostile takeover of the Supreme Court. And it became pretty clear pretty early on that the overturning of Roe versus Wade was a very real possibility when that happened, when the court was taken over. And that's what we saw. And it is, the end of Roe really is just the beginning. I mean, I think marriage equality is on the table. I think contraception is on the table. All of these rights that we have long held dear are on the table. And that includes religious freedom in particular, which is the focus of American Crusade, how the Supreme Court is weaponizing religious freedom.
So you could foresee a day if we keep going down this path where you basically have to be Christian. Is that where are you going that extreme with it?
So the goal is to elevate conservative white Christians into this special favored class and to make everybody else these second class citizens. That really is the goal. And there's no amount of power or privilege that is going to satisfy these crusaders. So, I mean, think about it like this, okay? Religious freedom has long been this shield. It has defended the minority against the tyranny of the majority. It's defended us all against government overreach. Never, never, never in our history has it been a license to violate the rights of other people or to harm other people. But this packed Supreme Court, which is collaborating with a well-funded, powerful network of Christian nationalist organizations, is changing that. These crusaders are weaponizing religious freedom. And for the last decade, in case after case, they have been reshaping the First Amendment into a weapon that allows conservative Christians to injure other people, to violate their rights, and to impose their religion on us all. So that's the story that American Crusade tells, and that's the end goal, to make this special favored class and everybody else second-class citizens.
How is that really possible when religious freedom, I mean, I guess my question is not necessarily how is it possible. We can see how it's possible just with the overturning of Roe, right? Like, we know that this is possible if this continues to go down this line. How do they defend that when they're the Constitution people? And in the Constitution, it clearly says separation of church and state, religious freedom. How do you defend that if you're them?
Well, there's a couple different things there. So, I mean, first, like, a lot of the arguments that our side is thinking about that I think are probably echoing in your head right now are based on the idea that religious freedom applies equally.
Right.
That we have, as the words that are etched into the Supreme Court building itself tell us, that we have equal justice under law, but we don't. And that's what they're working to overturn. We didn't in a lot of these cases. And that's because this Supreme Court does not understand religious freedom as a universal freedom, but understands it as a Christian privilege. And that is the alarm bell that my book, American Crusade, is ringing. You know, we think of religious freedom as an equal right, but the court is deliberately changing that. And you're right. I mean, what they're trying to do is drag us back to a time when conservative white Christian men ruled. And that's why they are focused on history and tradition in all of these cases and ignoring the Constitution and the law and equality.
I guess religious freedom to them could look like, hey, you're free to practice Catholicism, Methodist, you know, be a Baptist, be any of these other religions that fall under Christianity. But outside of that, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, you're a second class citizen is really what it's going for. I mean, so the law is going to favor those who are members of the in-group, those who are members of the conservative white Christian class, and everybody else, you're part of the out-group. So really what it is that the in-group is exempted from complying with a lot of the laws and rules and regulations, like the civil rights laws. And the out-group has to comply with every rule and regulation out there and is overly burdened. Another way of thinking of it is what they are trying to do is shift the burden of their religious freedom onto other people, right? Like think about Kim Davis, right? The county clerk in Kentucky.
Yeah.
She didn't want to get gay married, whatever that might mean. So she refused to issue licenses to allow others to get married, right? So she's taking her religion and imposing that burden on everybody else. And she's using government power to do so instead of saying, well, I don't want to marry somebody of the same sex, so I'm not going to, right? Mm-hmm. She's deliberately passing off the burden of her religious freedom onto other people. And that's what we're going to see this Supreme Court do. That's what we are seeing it do. And that's what the stories that American Crusade tells. I do have a chapter on Kim Davis in the book.
I think a large part of the problem is that when you belong to, I was raised Catholic. I'm consider mm-hmm. myself agnostic now. But raised in the South in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm in Nashville now. And you hear people all the time say, I'm a Christian. They'll say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so it's okay for me to believe A, B, and C. And it's like being a Christian, being a member of any particular group of people doesn't give you the right to impose laws upon other people to tell them what they can and cannot do.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that I really try to do in American Crusade. I really try to draw three very simple lines so that everybody can understand these cases. Because, you know, I've been in these trenches for more than a decade, you know, fighting in courts and out of courts about this. And one of the things that became very clear to me is that when religion and the law collide, the answers to the questions that are raised, those answers are actually really simple. Like it's really, these cases are not that hard. So I draw three basic lines in the book. And I do that in the first few chapters. And then I tell the stories of these cases that we've seen over the last decade of the gay wedding cake case, of the Kim Davis case, of the cases where churches were challenging COVID public health measures to prevent the spread of COVID. The cases of the Christian cross on public land, the coach who's kneeling in prayer at the 50-yard line and pressuring students to pray, the Hobby Lobby case. And I apply those three lines to these cases and show that, like, it's actually really easy to reach a conclusion and an answer and a solution here that would allow everybody to exercise their religion as they see fit without violating the rights of other people. And that's the key difference. And that's what the Supreme Court is doing its best to change, is to allow conservative Christians the right to impose their religion on others, but not extending that right to everybody else, which is inherently unequal.
You brought up a couple times, you've said conservative white Christian men. Mm-hmm. How does this play out racially?
I mean, I think it absolutely is tied to race. And in fact, one of the questions I asked in the book was, why are we seeing this crusade? Why are Christian nationalists seeking this weapon? And the answer to that is that it is largely a backlash against equality realized. And what I mean by that is that conservative white Christian Americans' status as the dominant group in our society has been threatened. It's been on the wane for a long time, you know, that they're losing the power and privilege and deference which they believe they are due. And when that happens to a dominant group in a society, when they feel threatened or left behind by circumstances, they react. Or in this case, they overreact in ways to try to retain that status. And that's why we are seeing them turn to things like Christian nationalism, to violent insurrection, to the so-called strongmen like Donald Trump. And that's why we're seeing them work to weaponize religious freedom. So, I mean, really, this crusade is that attempt to remake that protection into a weapon for maintaining this dominant group status. And the expansion of equality and that withering religious and racial hegemony, it's the contested territory in a lot of these religious freedom cases. So, I mean, the shorter way to say that, I'm a lawyer, you know, sorry, is that conservative white Christian America is dying this slow demographic death and it's rebelling. They are raging against the dying of their privilege. And so they have declared war on us.
I feel like part of this is possibly Democratic politicians' fault for not realizing the game that they're playing, because it felt like Republicans for a long time have been playing by a different set of rules. I mean, they are like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And then they never mention, hey, I can reach across the aisle. We always hear Democratic politicians, I can reach across the aisle. Well, you really can't anymore in this day and age. And I feel like Republican politicians stopped that a very long time ago. The attempt to reach across the aisle, whereas Democratic, we heard Joe Biden in the last election was like, well, my friends to the right, I can reach across the aisle. Yeah. You can't. We're past that. It's over. Those days are done. You have to, if you have the numbers, you got to take your shots. And that's what the Republicans have done that the Democrats have not done. Am I wrong there?
I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I think one of the areas where that is most clear and most obvious is with the Supreme Court itself.
Agreed.
And the hostile takeover that we saw orchestrated to capture the Supreme Court and to pack it. And, you know, I mean, look, Mitch McConnell and Leonard Leo and Donald Trump, they didn't steal and cheat and pack the courts to put their collaborators in place because those collaborators are going to administer justice even-handedly, right? They did that because they would not administer justice even-handedly. And I think a lot of what we are seeing right now is a lot of the problem we're seeing is that Americans really have to unshackle their minds from the belief that the Supreme Court is this impartial arbiter of truth and justice. Yeah. Because the crusade depends upon people believing this myth, and it is fundamentally not true.
And was it the last two that have been extremely, am I wrong in saying that they're extremely underqualified for the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, Amy Coney Barrett was only a federal judge for a very short time when she was shotgunned onto the court in the middle of election. 60 million plus people had voted. One of the things I do in American Crusade is I give people the history of each of these judges and justices and show where they are coming from, and that they are crusaders and that they are out to weaponize religious freedom and privilege conservative Christians. And that's been a theme for a lot of their careers. And we shouldn't expect them to do any different when they get onto the Supreme Court itself.
Yeah. The book is American Crusade. Andrew Seidel, thank you so much for taking time out and doing this. I guess my final question to you is this: what can we do to make sure that we don't get more rights stripped away from us at this point?
I mean, it's a great question. And I would encourage everybody to pick up a copy of the book, get it from your library, get it from your local bookstore, because I do include some concrete solutions in that book. And it begins with voting. That is not the end. Voting is literally the least you can do. Stacey Abrams tells us that it's medicine, not magic. And in a culture of instant gratification, we want to go into the voting booth and check a box and see a change, but that's not the way it works. We have a very long fight ahead of us to undo the damage that the Supreme Court is doing. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I do give you real world solutions and tools in American Crusade, how the Supreme Court is weaponizing religious freedom.
Hey, thank you so much for taking time out to do this.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dolly White. Pleasure.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. Want to say thank you once again to my guest, Andrew Seidel. Make sure you check out his very important book, American Crusade, available right now. I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast today. I think I got one more episode left in me before I take a break for the holidays and for the first of the year. Make sure you follow me on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything, at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite101. And no matter what platform you're currently listening on, make sure you follow, subscribe, whatever verbiage they use, do that. And if you can rate and review, I definitely appreciate positivity as well. I'm sending you positive energy. I would like some in return if you're able to rate and review. I definitely appreciate that. Anyway, that's my time. Back next Wednesday morning with a brand new episode. It'll be my last for this year. So check me out. Thank you for checking out the podcast.